eternity. Uhuru! Welcome to Solidarity Not Charity. My name is Stephanie Midler. I'm a member of the African People's Solidarity Committee here in St. Petersburg, and I'm going to be your host for today's show. I just want to take this moment to, every week we thank the African People's Socialist Party for allowing us to have this hour on Uhuru Radio every Sunday, and I just want to express my sincere appreciation to the party, not just for this hour every week, but just for the opportunity to participate in this incredible movement. They've really opened up a space for us as white people to be able to take a stand in this movement that is uniting African people all over the world and really liberating the whole African community and all of humanity. And I'm just so proud to be a part of that, and I just want to express my appreciation for that opportunity. And I think we have a really great show today. I'm joined in the studio with two people. The first is Courtney Rolls, who is a member of the African People's Solidarity Committee here in St. Pete and also the chair of outreach of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. Uhuru, Courtney.
Uhuru, Steph.
And also Sandy Thompson is our engineer. She'll probably be participating in the show today as well. Uhuru, Sandy.
Uhuru.
So today's show, we're really excited about. We have a campaign that we're launching here in St. Petersburg that's modeled after a campaign that the APSC unit in Philadelphia has been waging really successfully under the leadership of Mpidum and Diop Olugbala out there, called the Billion Dollar War on the African Community. And it's a campaign that takes on the question of the money that is spent by the city, and how it's spent, how it affects the African community. The Uhuru movement has always raised the question that, or said and defined, that police containment is a public policy. And this campaign really, it really exposes that deeper. And so we want to talk about that today. The campaign in St. Petersburg is called the Million Dollar War on the African Community. And Courtney has been participating in exposing a lot of this research, along with Johan. Uhuru, Johan, we know you're listening. and so I just want to ask Courtney, if you can tell people a little bit more, why is it called the Million Dollar War on the African Community, and what is some of the information that you found? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the title is going to be Stop the Million Dollar War on the African Community, uh-huh. because it is. You look at the numbers in the 2009 budget for St. Petersburg, and in the general fund for public safety, $85,923,000 is being allocated to go to the police. Oh. And in relation to economic development for the black community here, only $1,460,000. For Midtown economic development, and Midtown is one small area in the black community that's rapidly becoming gentrified right now. And Sandy knows a lot about the history and the creation of Midtown, if you want to talk about it.
Well, yeah, Uhuru, when I say about $1 million going for economic development in Midtown, really what that means is just money's going to the white community and money's going into an effort for gentrification of the African community to drive out the African community. So they can put it in the budget and say, oh, this is money going to Midtown. But what Midtown is a section of St. Petersburg that was carved out that includes a portion of downtown as well as the initial part of the south side of St. Pete. And if people who aren't familiar with St. Petersburg, historically, St. Petersburg, Central Avenue has been the dividing line, where south of Central Avenue, most of south of Central Avenue has been an African community, except for the waterfront areas around the edge of St. Pete. St. Petersburg is a peninsula. But south of St. Pete is the African community. North of St. Pete is the white community. But in the past at least 10 years or so, there's been an effort by business interests, by white business interests in St. Pete, to encroach into and drive out the African community in the most immediate section adjacent to Central Avenue, just south of Central Avenue. And so in order to encourage gentrification of that area, they renamed it Midtown instead of South Side, because it, if you live in St. Pete, white people like on the north side, or I mean, some white people even in some of the towns in Pinellas County up further north, like Largo, Seminole, Clearwater, if you read some of the comments that come on the news articles about St. Petersburg, they all blast St. Petersburg and how much they hate St. Petersburg because that's where the African population is in Pinellas County. And similarly, people just who live on the north side of St. Pete, you know, they'll be like, oh, I won't go down there. You know, oh, that's the scary, you know, crime-ridden, you know, that's the black community. They won't go south of Central. So the city business people renamed a section and called it Midtown. So instead of Southside, is Midtown. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, oh, okay, well, that's a, like that's uptown. Okay. Yeah, it's okay to move in there. And then, you know, when you're looking at the budget, I'm not sure how much you guys are going to get into this later, but because it is numerically, monies comes into the city of St. Pete under different kind of various federal grants, oftentimes allocated to the city because of the statistical conditions of poverty that are located predominantly in the African community. So they can get these grant money, and then if they define the neighborhood, I mean, I don't want to talk about what you're going to already talk about, but you're going to talk about the dome and the paving of the parking lot.
Right. What Sandy's talking about is community development block grant funds, and we do want to talk about that a little bit. But I want to back up just for a second because, Courtney, those numbers that you mentioned are really powerful, and I appreciate what Sandy's saying because it gives a little history about St. Pete, you know, and how it's historically, you know, this severely divided city between the African community and the white community. And the numbers that you're saying are just so stark. And can you just repeat that really quick? I want to ask you another question about that.
I mean, it's still very much divided. If you look further at the budget, it's not just huge difference between how much is going to the police and how much is going to this small area that's being gentrified in the black community. But if you compare the $1 million that's going to Midtown with the $4 million that's going to golf courses.
$4 million
to golf courses. We've got parks. Parks. $15 million going to the upkeep and maintenance of parks.
And $1 million to the African community.
To the gentrification
Midtown.
Of, yeah.
Right. And when they say public safety, are you able to say what that means?
Public safety just refers to police and firemen.
And how much is going to public safety again?
Well, overall, do the math. Well, divided police, the police department is getting $85,923,000, and the fire department is getting $33,248,000.
Now, the Uhuru movement has taken on plenty of campaigns against the police in the past. And in St. Pete, we know that in the last 8 years, we can name the names of the Africans who have been brutally murdered by the police. So we know the role that the police play in the African community. Mm-hmm. So $85 to continue that relationship with the African community is what the city is spending, compared with $1 million for quote-unquote economic development in the African community. Mm-hmm. So what are the conditions of the African community here in St. Pete? Can you say something about the poverty levels here in St. Petersburg?
Yeah, Comrade Johan has been doing a great job researching and finding statistics, trying to find the most updated statistics on this specifically for St. Pete. And so far, we've both compiled some on poverty and demographics and the unemployment rate. In 2007, we know it's a lot worse now because of how the economy has been the last year or two. And for white non-Hispanic males, 4.3% were unemployed in 2007. 3.8% of white females were also unemployed. For black males, it was double, 11.5%. And it was double for black females, 7.9%. And so we can kind of compare that. You know, we're trying to find updated information. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if we just look at the conditions of the African community – all over, you know, the U.S. Right now because of the economic, the economy tanking, all the foreclosures. We know it's a lot worse than these numbers right here. 2007 poverty data, rate data, or actually, no, this is 2009. Residents in St. Petersburg with income below the poverty level is 13.1%, and in the whole state, 12.1%. And if you break this down by races and percentages, white people make up 7% of that in St. Pete and 8% in Florida, and black people make up 27% in St. Pete and 22% in the entire state. And if we compare that to the demographics for St. Pete, in the 2000 census, 71.4% of the population was white, and 22.4% are black.
So it's like essentially a fourth of the population making up a fourth of the poverty. Mm-hmm. I mean, is essentially what those statistics mean. I mean, if a fourth of the population is making up 27% of the overall poverty. That's huge. I mean,
overall.
Have to really break. I appreciate this because if we really break down the numbers and add it up, it like when you say 27%, what was that one?
The breakdown by race and percentage of poverty for St. Petersburg.
Right.
And only 7% were white.
Yeah, you know. 7%. So those statistics are really exposing. And I know there was another one you were telling me about earlier today about the dropout rate of African males in Pinellas County.
75%.
So, I mean, the conditions in the African community, and this isn't specific to St. Pete either. I know that Philadelphia's campaign exposed the same kind of conditions in Philadelphia, and, you know, it's the same in every African community, no matter where we are in what city in the U.S. and around the world. On the continent of Africa, the movement has said over and over, it's the richest continent in the world in terms of natural resources, but everywhere African people are located, they experience the worst kind of poverty, the worst kind of conditions. And here in the U.S. especially, it's covered over. It's completely covered up by the so-called, like, midtown economic development and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. To go back to what Sandy was saying about community development block grant funds, I know just from my experience, when the movement was opening the Tyron Lewis All People's Community Gym here in St. Petersburg, that was the only time the movement ever tried to get public funds to do an institution. And they did it because they wanted to expose how difficult it is for anybody, and we're an organization, but for anybody to try and get those monies. And it was a struggle. It was a throw down, you know, all out battle just to get the little bit of community development block grant funds that we could. And they're based on the statistics of poverty in the African community that the city gets these monies. And the movement went through battles to be able to get resources and expose that process and how difficult it was. And I just remember after that whole process, they changed the rules. They made a couple things that I remember in particular. They said that for you to get those funds, you have to be able to match the amount of funds that you want to be able to get. You have to be able to put out the same amount. So if an African person wanted to start a business and was asking to get a certain amount of money from those funds based on the poverty in their community, they would have to put up the same amount of money. Not only that, but they would have to pay for their own architectural drawings. They'd have to pay for their own inspections and stuff. Like, this costs thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. That if we're talking about people who are experiencing serious poverty, of course they're not going to have that kind of money. And so the city uses that and has used it, like what Sandy was saying, for the Tropicana Dome. They paved the parking lot. For the palm trees that line 22nd Avenue, which they totally destroyed that whole business district when they put in the highway, they cut it right off. It just totally wrecked that whole. It was a thriving business district over there. So that's what, you know, they keep it from the people. They get the monies, keep it from the people, and use it for their own pet projects. Mm-hmm. And then we see that the city's strategy through this budget, like what you were saying, Courtney, is to continue to put the funds into quote-unquote public safety, which results in a policy of police containment in the African community.
Yeah, safety for those who already have all of the resources.
That's right, yeah. So, what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with all this information? Or what? I mean, if people are listening And, you know, they hear it and they probably see the same relationship in whatever city they're living in. Can you let people know about what our plans are and, mm-hmm. and how people can participate or...
Yeah, well, like you were saying earlier, Philly has had a major successful campaign around the budget there, and they produced a fact sheet that's really in-depth, and we're going to model our campaign off of that fact sheet. So hopefully we'll have it compiled within the next week or so. And if anybody wants to participate in doing research for statistics in St. Pete or compiling their own statistics in their own city, I mean, right. this needs to be all over, you mm-hmm. know, and we know it's all over. So, you know, and that would be the beginning, you know, of the process of building branches all over, you know, of solidarity to support this movement, because this movement is going to, you know, really change the conditions, you know, not give $85 million to police to try to solve the problem, you know.
Right.
But and we're also, there's the race for they're electing a new mayor this year, so we want to take this fact sheet to all of the candidates and, you know, tell them about the conditions and get them to do something about it,
right?
You know, to pressure them to do something about this relationship that exists in St. Pete.
Right.
So that's pretty much what we're gonna do.
Right. I think it's gonna be a really powerful campaign, and really we'll be able to go to the different candidates' nights and force the question of economic development to be on the platform of every candidate that's running, which mm-hmm. reminds me of when Amalia Shetella ran for mayor and forced Rick Baker to even address the question of economic development in the African community, which is how he won the vote. And we see now, you know, the budget mm-hmm. that he's putting forward, of course, doesn't deal with any kind of real economic development. So it's going to be a really powerful campaign. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciate what you're saying about people participating in research here, because you can participate from wherever you are. We're doing mm-hmm. this on the internet. Mm-hmm. People can help us research for St. Pete or in your area. I mean, if you're in Iowa or, I don't know, Nevada or something, and you're listening and you want to do this research for your city, get in touch with us and mm-hmm. we'll help you, you know, find other people in your area or start a branch. Get together with people who want to expose this question in whatever city you're in. And like what Courtney said, we want to build a Huru Solidarity movement all over mm-hmm. and take on this question, because St. Pete is not any different from wherever you are in the U.S. or elsewhere. So this is an exciting campaign. The movement has a long history of exposing, you know, the contradictions and always taking a stand in the defense of the African community no matter what. Like, always taking the covers off the contradiction and taking a strong, brave stand and telling it like it is. And then also presenting the solution and saying, here's the program that we're presenting that's going to solve it. So, and this case is no different. I mean, the movement has really incredible, positive programs that are solving the conditions in the African community on the ground right now. And I just want to ask you to tell people about what our main focus is right now in terms mm-hmm. of solidarity. What is the campaign that we're putting out there that people mm-hmm. can participate in as the solution? Like, if people are listening and they're like, okay, but what can I do right now? Mm-hmm. Research is one thing, but, you know, what are some of the other ways?
Well, a couple months ago, two organizations of the movement, the All African Peoples Development and Empowerment Project and the African Peoples Education Defense Fund, came together and formed an initiative called the African Village Survival Initiative here in St. Pete. And it's an initiative that will serve as a model internationally for African communities to come together and collectivize skills and resources to you know, create sustainable economies and liberated economies within the midst of this global economic crisis. And so here in St. Pete, there's collective gardens happening. We just had a workshop around rainwater catchment systems, and there's going to be a lot of other projects in the future for people to become a part of.
And why is that work so critical? I mean, you know, community gardens in the white community, it's like, okay, it's I can do a garden. Yeah.
Right.
Or like, yeah, I grow tomatoes or mm-hmm. whatever. But why is it called the African Village Survival?
Well, because it's based on that. I mean, African people are dying every day because of the poverty and the conditions that exist for them. And it's not a hobby like it is for a white person who has the luxury and time and resources to decide to do that. I mean, people in the African community rely on this. So it's a way of bringing together the community and, you know, not only, you know, creating the tools and the resources that are necessary to live, but also politicizing the people and bringing them into organization and to take on these conditions and solve them, you know, indefinitely. And so AVSI, the African Village Survival Initiative Solidarity Campaign, is the campaign that we in the Uhuru Solidarity Movement are a part of. And we're, you know, calling on people in the white community and other communities that want to support this initiative to, you know, come and do work or to donate or to just contribute, put on a workshop. Write grants, you know, donate seeds, tools. I mean, there's a whole list that we compiled, and we're having biweekly AVSI Solidarity Campaign meetings here in St. Pete. So if anybody is interested and is in St. Pete, please come out. We create events on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook. We post all around town. We can definitely get you in touch if you come to our website. And so that's our main campaign. It's really exciting.
Awesome. Well, we want to take a break in a minute and then come back and talk to people more about AVSI and also the online auction, which is a fundraiser, a national fundraiser that is launching tomorrow that we want to give people a heads up about. And you'll get to hear, you'll be one of the first to hear about this and the incredible items that you can bid on and support AVSI. But first, I just want to let people know how you can participate in the show. If you're listening and you have a question or a comment that you want to make, you can call in to Uhuru News or Uhuru Radio. And those numbers are in the U.S., country code 001-727-565-1599. In the U.K., at country code 44, phone number 020-8133-6629. Our Skype ID is Uhuru Radio. That's U-H-U-R-U-R-A-D-I-O. Or you can email us at dj@uhururadio.com. And like I said, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
White people are so scared of black people. They bulldoze out to the country and put up houses on little loop-de-loop streets. And America got its heart cut right out of its chest. And the Berlin Wall still runs down main streets, separating east side from west. Now nothing is stirring now, even a mouse in the boarded up stores and the broken down houses. So they hang colorful banners off all the street lamps just to prove they got no manners, no mercy and no sense. And I wonder then what it will take for my city to rise. First we admit our mistakes and then we open our eyes. The ghosts of old buildings are haunting parking lots in the city of good neighbors that history forgot. Just walk past you. This can't just be true. But I learned my example to just keep improving my feet. It's amazing the things that we all learn to do. So we're led by denial, like lambs to the slaughter, serving empires of style and carbonated sugar water in the old farm road to four lane that leads to the mall. First we admit our mistakes and then we all
Uhuru, welcome back to Solidarity Not Charity. I just want to let people know or remind people you're listening to uhururadio.com. And we're so glad that you tuned in to listen to our show today. I want to just reintroduce who I'm speaking with. But before I do that, the song that we just listened to was Ani DeFranco. The song was called Subdivision. And Courtney picked out that song, actually. It just has really good lyrics, you know? Do you want to say something about it?
Well, yeah, it takes on, you know, she sees the relationship or the conditions and, you know, the difference in the conditions, and she was kind of critiquing that, even though it was still, you know, it wasn't with the analysis of the party, but it's a beautiful song.
Yeah. So I just want to remind people the numbers that you can call in to participate in this show. Maybe there's similar issues that you see in your community, or if you have a question or comment, you can call in or email in to participate. Those numbers are in the U.S., country code 001-727-565-1599. In the U.K., country code 440-208133-6629. Skype ID is Uhuru Radio. That's U-H-U-R-U-R-A-D-I-O. Or you can email us at dj@uhururadio.com. So Courtney Rolls is in the studio with us today, member of APSC and also the chair of outreach for the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. And we're talking about a campaign that we're launching here in St. Petersburg called Stop the $1 Million War on the African Community, which is exposing the budget of the city of St. Petersburg and the funds that are going into the police, I think we said $85 million, versus economic development in the African community, which I think we said is $1 million. And we were talking about how we're going to take that on from the Solidarity Committee, the campaign we're launching. And what we just finished addressing was one of the many programs that the Uhuru Movement has put on the ground to deal with the conditions of poverty, police violence. I mean, there's you know, the educate, the mental murder, I remember somebody said, in the schools that African people face. I mean, all, you know, in every aspect of African life, the community faces incredible oppression. And the Uhuru Movement is always putting forward programs to take those on, put the power back in the hands of the African community. And this is just one example of it. And the program was the African Village Survival Initiative. And I just want to get back to that for a second, Courtney. Our show is called Solidarity, Not Charity. And we make that distinguish between those words a lot. And it's really important because it's not about charity. It's about taking a stand in solidarity. And when we support and become an ally of AVSI, it's a stand in solidarity. And I just wanted to open that up to you and see if you could speak a little more to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of white people that are into sustainability right now that really want to be involved in African people's lives, because a lot of us do see the conditions and want to do something about it. But every other program that I've run into has been charity, not solidarity, and has ultimately been gentrification and does not benefit or work in the interest of African people. And that's basically what, I mean, one of the main things that distinguishes AVSI, a solidarity campaign, you know, from the rest of these other gardening collectives that have popped up on cheap land and in African communities for white people to go and have their little plot, you know, and to make themselves feel better because they think that they're helping the community. But it's just, you know, we want to pull people that have that, you know, sentiment into political life, into solidarity. And so we're going out with AVSI Solidarity Campaign.
Uhuru. And this is, I mean, it's a program led by the Uhuru Movement. Its goals are to create economic development, not just, you know, to have food and to get water and to reduce people's dependency on the utility company, you know, by having access to clean water that they, you know, they don't have to get through the water company or whatever, but about, you know, creating an economic development, you know, a program in the African community where people can sell their extra vegetables and, you know, pull together as a community to share tools, tool share, that kind of stuff. And it's no little thing. I mean, that's what the African community does anyways to survive, is pull together. That's what, you know, the African community is like, you know, has always done. Mm-hmm. So it's an incredible program. And I mean, the stuff that you were saying, the way that we can participate by making donations, mm-hmm. particular items. And we're also being called on to outfit the kitchen, mm-hmm. and that's part of the Economic Self-Reliance Program. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the Uhuru House wants to equip a recording studio and a commercial kitchen to serve as tools for economic development in the community. So, you know, catering businesses can come here, you know, for inexpensive prices to use the kitchen, and young artists can come and record their music and say what they want to say without having to censor themselves and you know, sell out or, you know, change, you know, have to continue to spout the propaganda of the ruling class. And that's really exciting. So if anybody has any access to commercial kitchen equipment or any recording studio equipment, that's something that we're asking. Or if people want to participate in the process of finding those resources. And
And the kitchen and the recording studio, of course, are located here in the Uhuru House, which was just renovated from the movement as part of an incredible campaign to just really make this building, you know, have the, you know, the stature that really reflects the embassy that it is to the African world. And the space for the kitchen was completely redone. The recording studio space was completely redone, but it needs the equipment. That's the thing. I mean, we have to get these things outfitted so that people can come in and start using it. I mean, that's real. That's, you know, really taking a stand in solidarity is opening up the resources in our community. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the reality. Mm-hmm. The wealth we have in our community, even if we don't have it ourselves, even if I don't have a boat, I don't live on the water, or I don't know, whatever you think of as wealth, having some kind of personal wealth, having more than one car, I don't know what. Even if we don't have it ourselves, we have access to these, you know, like community wealth in the white community. All kinds. I mean, I have all kinds of restaurants like right by my house. Mm. I have banks. Mm. I have grocery stores with fresh vegetables. I have access to co-ops that I can participate in. All kinds of stuff. Mm. African community, nothing. I mean, they just built a sweet bay that's just taking the community money and sending it to wherever sweet bay's corporation is or whatever. But, you know, this kind of social wealth that we have in our community, we can totally open up to outfit these two programs. Mm-hmm. Who has the stuff for the kitchen? You know, we want to go to schools and different auctions and see how we can get this equipment. Who has recording? I mean, the recording studio equipment, that's something like white people have in their basements. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. I know people who have recording studio stuff for a hobby or whatever in their, you know, in a separate room in their house. Mm. We got to open it up, see if people donate this equipment. So that's really exciting.
Uhuru, there's an email here that I can share with people. We got an email from Penny Hess, who is the chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, Uhuru Penny. And she writes, she's also based right now here in St. Petersburg, been heavily involved in many of the campaigns and work that we're talking about. And she writes, great topic and research, really an important campaign, Uhuru comrades. Just to add to the other great information exposing the city's budget, Midtown was first invented by the city as a, quote, neighborhood after the rebellions of 1996 following the police murder of 17-year-old Tyrone Lewis. Before that, no one ever heard of, quote, Midtown. It was the city's way to eradicate the independent identity of the African community. It mixed downtown with parts of the African community so it would make the statistics of poverty for African people look better than they really are. It also lets them use HUD and other government money for white businesses and corporations, as you had mentioned, Stephanie, at the expense of the African community. The invention of Midtown also marked the beginning of gentrification of the South Side with a, quote, safe-sounding name like Midtown, as we discussed. Also want to say there is a $12 million budget deficit in St. Petersburg, and the city is already talking about closing most major swimming pools and rec centers this summer. Again, this is an important campaign for the Uhuru Solidarity Movement to take on. Uhuru, Penny.
Uhuru. Uhuru. Thank you, Penny, for that input.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is going to be a really powerful campaign, and I think it just shows, like, we need to take this on in every city that we can. It's, you know, St. Pete is not any different. The African community is here in St. Petersburg because it because African people raised the children of white people back since Florida became, like, you know, this tourist place. African people were brought here as this cheap labor to be nannies, to be, you know, house servants and all this kind of business, basically raising the white children of these tourists and stuff, and also built the city. I mean, I've seen pictures where African people are paving the streets of St. Petersburg, and yet, you know, live in the worst poverty in the entire, you know, in the entire county, in the entire state, mm-hmm. and, you know, since they came here in the first place. So it's an incredible contradiction, and we need to just continue to expose it. And especially this relationship of public, of the police, you know, and the funds that go mm-hmm. into it. It's a public policy of police containment. That is why $85 million are going to the police and $1 million goes to economic development. We have to go to the mayor and say, why? Mm-hmm. Why aren't there more resources allocated for economic development in the poorest? 75% African men not graduating from high school. Mm-hmm. If 75% of white young men weren't graduating from high school, there would be an all-out, you know, crisis announced.
Lots of programs.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's outrageous, and it's going to be a really incredible program.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, definitely. I know we want to talk about the fundraiser that we have coming up, which is the online auction. And it's actually going to be launching tomorrow. And I wanted to give our listeners, like, really the first sneak peek into the auction. It's a nationwide fundraiser for the programs of the African Village Survival Initiative. It's one of the many fundraisers that we're doing nationwide from the Uhuru Solidarity Movement to support AVSI. And this one is going to be really exciting. The auction site is going to be on that APDEP website, which is developmentforafrica.org/auction2009. That is the website to remember. And people from Uhuru Solidarity Movement from Philadelphia and Oakland and in Boston and here in St. Pete have been doing amazing work going to businesses and artists and other supporters to get donated items for this auction, and people have really come through with incredible donations and just a really, you know, sincere expression of support for the work of the Uhuru movement. And you'll really be able to see that in the items that have been donated.
Like what?
I know. Well, I just want to, and, you know, I'm biased, definitely, but I want to just highlight the ones that I think are just the most exciting. Here in St. Petersburg, we got an incredible donation from the Robert Davidson Fine Arts Gallery, and the donation is a photograph of Malcolm X during one of his famous speeches. It's a copy of the original photograph. It's framed in a beautiful, you know, with white matting and a beautiful frame with the glass over the top. It's really nicely done, and it was handpicked by the owner of the gallery because of his support of the movement, his longtime support. I mean, he remembered Chairman back from the days of when he took the mural down here in St. Pete. So it was a real expression of support for what the movement means here in St. Pete and around the world. And so he chose this, had it framed, and the photograph was taken by famous photographer Gordon Parks, who, if people aren't familiar, he's an African photographer who photographed the South Side of Chicago in the 40s. He did photo essays for Life magazine. He photographed not only Malcolm X, but also Muhammad Ali, Stokely Carmichael, and others. He directed movies such as Shaft, composed music. He was a jazz musician. I mean, he's an incredible historic figure. And included with the photograph of Malcolm X is an original signature of Gordon Parks. So it's a really incredible collectible that people can bid on. The estimated value is $200. And, you know, you're going to get your shot at at owning this incredible piece. So that's one of the things I wanted to highlight. There's several other pieces. Let me just go back here. There's one piece that Comrades in Philadelphia got. It's a African beaded banner piece. It's like a wall hanging from West Africa, Cameroon, from the 1960s or 70s, and it's an incredibly intricate piece. Vivid colors. There's images of people with animals, and the beading, the entire thing is beaded. You have to see the photographs to really, you know, appreciate the level of craftsmanship that went into this piece. It is gorgeous. Vivid blues, reds, and all kinds of colors, and just this amazing. So, I mean, just incredible pieces. So that is available. We also have one night stays at these amazing hotels in Maine, here in Florida at Anna Maria Island. There's massages. There's incredible clothing that's up for bidding. There's more jewelry. I mean, there's really something for everybody. So I want to put that address out again and let you know that bidding starts tomorrow, and I hope everyone participates. The website, again, is developmentforafrica.org/auction2009. And starting tomorrow, if you go to any of the movement sites, you'll be able to see a promotional button that you can click on to get there as well. Or, you know, if you can't remember the website or something, you can always contact us here at the radio station. We'll make sure and get you the information so that you can bid. Bidding opens tomorrow, like I said, and will close on Saturday, June 20th at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want more information about the auction, you can also give us a call here in St. Pete at 727-683-9949, or you can email us at auction@developmentforafrica.org. I think that's all the information about the auction. I hope people bid, and bid generously. This is a fundraiser for AVSI and one way that we can show our solidarity and get incredible items as well. So, Courtney, I want to get back to you. I know that you have, as head of outreach, you've put forward an incredible program here in St. Pete with the AVSI solidarity meetings every other week, and also doing political studies once a month. So that people can come and learn more about what's going on and how we can take these questions on from the white community. And we have one coming up.
Yeah, on Thursday, June 4th, that's next Thursday at 6:30 p.m., we're going to have the Uhuru Solidarity Movement presents African Liberation Day. Footage and reports from the African Socialist International held in Washington, D.C., May 23rd through the 24th. That just happened. And we're going to have discussions on AFRICOM, which is the U.S. military presence in Africa, neocolonialism, colonialism with a new face or a new look, the African Socialist International, which is the African people's struggle for freedom, African working class and peasantry's struggle, and the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. We're going to be talking about and how, you know, this is what people can plug into to stop the attack on Africa and African people. So again, it's on Thursday, June 4th at 6:30 p.m. at Atlanta Bread, downtown St. Pete, in the conference room. The address is 179 First Avenue North. And if anybody has any questions, you can call 727-683-9949 or email us at stpete@apscuhuru.org. That's stpete@apscuhuru.org.
All right, great. Another thing I just remembered is people who are listening may or may not have been part of the campaign to make sure that Uhuru Solidarity Movement and the Solidarity Movement could participate in the Maker Faire this weekend. That's a big fundraiser that we do from Solidarity every year out in California, and we had to struggle to make sure that we could be in that fair, and we had a victory. We're back in the fair. They're there working hard this weekend, raising the money. Uhuru, it was a great victory. It just shows that when we struggle for the resources, we can win. And I wanted to bring that up because we want to make sure that we can get into that, you know, we're able to do the Pride Fest fundraiser this year also in California. Mm-hmm. There have been, you know, we have to defend our right to be able to open up these resources for the programs of the Uhuru movement. And Pride Fest is another one in California. And, you know, we want to call on people to call in and write letters of support for our participation in that fundraiser. It's incredibly important that that the African community is represented at these fairs, mm-hmm. and that the programs that speak to the real interests of the African community are at these fairs, and that white people have the opportunity to support them. Mm-hmm. And people want to see us there. We're incredibly popular at these fairs. People want to support these programs. They want to take a stand from our community, and we see that. And we want to make sure that, you know, people can participate. Mm-hmm. So we want to put out that information of how people can support that. I'm not sure if we have that right now. I'll try and put it out before the end of the show. So I just want to say that, and hooroo for the victory for getting into the Maker Fair, and we want to call on people to support our ability to get into Pride Fest in California. Okay, so the other thing, I know, Courtney, you work on the National Outreach Committee, and one thing that we always want to talk about on our show is how people can become part of this organization. Mm-hmm. And I just want to see if you can, you know, speak a little bit about that, how people can become part of this organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing to do is to join the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, and you can do that through going to our website at apscuhuru.org and clicking on the button on the right that says Join Uhuru Solidarity Movement. And it's an annual pledge of $25, but those resources go to these programs, and it, you know, it makes the statement that you want to be a part of these campaigns in St. Pete or wherever you're located. You don't have to be located within where a branch is to be a part of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. There's always online work. There's always things that people can participate in. And also, if you come out to an event, we have brochures that people can fill out and give right there. And that's pretty much the first thing to become a part of these programs. Become an ally of the African Village Survival Initiative. Again, we have biweekly meetings on this in St. Pete, and it's a national campaign also within the other branches of Solidarity. So that's pretty much how people can do it.
All right, awesome. So before we wrap up, we're just looking for the events, any other announcements that we can put out for the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. I want to remind people about the auction information. Starting tomorrow, you can bid on these incredible items and support the African Village Survival Initiative. That website, again, to do that is developmentforafrica.org/auction2009. You can check it out now. Bidding starts tomorrow, and bidding will go until Saturday, June 20th at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Bidding will close, and the items will go to the highest bidder. And I know that you better pay, you know, we're going to have updates daily of the bids. And if you want a certain item, you got to keep track of it, because some of these are going to be very popular. So it's a really exciting fundraiser that we're taking on, and I want people to really participate in it. And wherever you are, you can participate internationally.
As far as the sending emails into San Francisco Pride Parade, if you just go to their website, I think the email address is info@sfpride.org, and people can send in information or letters that way. And the rest of their information is listed on their website, which I'm sure people, if they Google, can find.
Right, and it's just a call on people to support the Uhuru Movement's ability to participate in these fundraisers and raise money for these programs like AVSI, and that you know, the voice of the African community has to be part of these events, and people have to have the opportunity to support it. So that's the demand that we want to make, and I hope people participate in that. Okay, so I think that's it. That's our show for today. I really want to thank our guest, Courtney Rolls, and for doing the research, and also another shout out to
Johan
Uhuru for being here today, and hope people, you know, get online, bid on the auction. That's something we can do right away. And I just want to say, Uhuru, really appreciate the opportunity to be here today on Solidarity Not Charity on UhuruRadio.com. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru.